from the pages of IHS Fan Magazine, the Austin area's premier high school football preview publication, and the creators of the Horn Webcast Network, powered by IHS Fan. Welcome to Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Here are your hosts, Rick Epstein and Jeff Power.
Good evening, high school football fans. Welcome to show number 9 of season number 5 for Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Hey, we're Austin's longest-running show featuring local high school football. If you like Austin area high school football, this is your show. For the next 9 Wednesday nights, we invite you to join us for an hour of fun. My name is Rick Epstein. I am the publisher of IHS Fan Magazine, Austin's premier high school football preview magazine. Do me a favor, if you haven't already done so, take out your phone and follow us on Twitter at IHSFAN. That's at IHSFAN. We have great content as well as your chance to receive your free digital copy of our annual preview magazine. Just click on the link in our profile. And by the way, while you have your phone out, why don't you download the Horn app? Because the IHS Fan Webcast Network, we've got 8 games this week, 2 on Thursday, 6 on Friday night. You can sit there and watch from your phone the great coverage of our great broadcast team, Stephen Kavler being the voice of Stony Point this year. I want to welcome my co-host since day number 1, freshly back from Vegas and his great win at the blackjack tables. Jeff Power, how are you, Jeff?
I'm great, Rick. How are you doing? I'm so ready for more high school football this weekend. I mean, just talking to folks all over the country just about how big Texas high school football is, and it's huge right here in Central Texas. It's awesome.
It is. The man behind the glass, very happy, the pride of Oklahoma, Stephen Kavler. Hey, before we get to our first guest, let me tell you about the ARS Rescue Router Team of the Week, and we want to recognize the red-hot Maynard Mustangs. The 5-1 Maynard Mustangs gave second-year head coach James Keller a big district win over the powerhouse Pflugerville. The 45-12 statement win sent a message to all the teams that will be battling for a district title in that brutal 11-5A D1 district that Maynard is a major contender. Maynard rushed for over 300 yards and created 4 turnovers. Quentin Joyner had 205 yards rushing, scored 2 touchdowns, and the quarterback, Jason Zardovets, had a very productive night with 94 yards passing, included 3 passing touchdowns, and he added 1 rushing. Isaiah Crosby scored 2 TDs, and he returned a 2-point conversion interception back 103 yards, which is always nice. The Mustangs' stingy defense held the Panthers to just 174 yards rushing, and more importantly, just 12 points. The Mustangs' sole loss has come against the number 1 ranked team in the state in 4A, the LBJ Jaguars. Maynard has run off 5 straight wins, including huge district wins over Georgetown and Pflugerville. Congrats to the Maynard Mustangs for being recognized as our ARS Rescue Router Team of the Week.
And Quentin Joyner, is he getting it done or what? He had 256 yards rushing against Georgetown. He's continuing to run the football well. They got a great offense, man. They can score some points.
Well, they had a rough season last year in Coach James Keller's first year, so they're getting it all back. Hey, Jeff, you know, we've talked to so many great coaches. Through 8 weeks, we've talked to 16 different area head coaches. We've talked to many players. We're going to keep that going tonight. We've got 2 coaches, one Aiken's brand-new head coach, Joey Sachs. Connolly's coach, Jason Cecil, will join us later, and we'll be also talking to IHS Fan top 10 player and Stony Point linebacker Jake Chambers. Let's first head out to South Austin and talk with first-year head coach of the Aiken's Eagles, Coach Joey Sachs. Coach, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. How are you guys doing tonight?
Coach, am I getting your name pronounced right? Let's get that right on the bat. Is it Sachs? How do you pronounce your last name?
Hey, I think y'all are the first ones to get it right. Yes, sir. It is Sachs.
All right. There you go. Coach, long time.
Sachs is, easy to remember there.
Exactly. Coach, long time Eagles coach stepped down. Humberto Garza stepped down after 11 seasons with Aikens. You were selected to take the reins in what was, in what ways was having a familiar face in the locker room take the job important to not only your players, but also your staff?
No, definitely. And, first and foremost, Coach Garza did a heck of a job while he was here, and he gave me my opportunity to be an offensive coordinator and, to be a part of this great program and build it, from scratch, really. But to have a familiar face for the kids and someone that they trust, and you know, that's the biggest thing for our kids here at Aiken High School, is just having that consistent role modeling. So when I was able to step up and like that head coach, it was very exciting for everybody.
And speaking of role models, Joey, who are some of the coaches that have influenced you in the way you call plays, the way that you just are as a coach?
I think it starts in high school. You know, I played Ballard, who was the son of Emory Ballard, the inventor of the wishbone. You know, then Ray Conjuro came in, and he was kind of a spread guy. And then you know, at Texas State, it was, you know, Tom Herman, Craig Kniver, some of those guys were there. And of course, just all the wonderful coaches I've met along the way with Texas High School football. It's just, I think we all take a little bit from each other and just try to make it your own.
You know, Coach, your squad is one of the surprise stories in the first half of the season. 4-2 overall. Most importantly, 2-1 in district with wins over Hayes and Austin High. What have you been most pleased with so far about your squad?
You know, I think it really just comes into the way they bought into kind of our Iron Man system with guys playing literally all game, and just in order for us to get our best 11 out there. You know, they've all kind of put aside, you know, I only play this position, and, you know, really bought into the team mentality. You know, the fundamentals, that's just been night and day, the way they act in practice, the way they carry themselves in the locker room, in the community. You know, I've just been pleased with the product that we've been able to put out there. And when we're healthy, I mean, we can really compete with, you know, anybody out there.
And getting off to such a good start this year, I know that Dave Campbell's Texas Football recognized you guys. And, you know, coming off that big win over Hayes and then beating Austin High, just your thoughts in general about the way that you've maybe noticed how the fan base for Aikens is, you know, wearing that blue and gold and that pride factor coming back for football. How does that feel?
Oh, man, it's exciting. You know, that win against Hayes was really big for our school and our community. You know, never beaten them in school history. So, you know, 21 years in the making right there. I think that really, you know, set the tone for the season that, you know, these guys are so much different than those that have come before them. And then that kind of led to, you know, our homecoming game there against Austin High. And, man, that was a close one all the way to the very end. And just being able to turn around at the end of it and just see the stands packed. And, you know, I know that's a memory that I'm going to carry with me, but more importantly, that's something that those seniors are going to have with them for the rest of their lives. So just truly, truly special. You know, everywhere you go now in South Austin, you know, people are, you know, saying great job, coach, great job, team. Can't wait till next Friday. So definitely very, very exciting.
Well, you know, let's talk about that win over Austin High, you know, and talk about your team's composure. You know, Austin High came roaring back, had a chance for a two-point conversion. Zach Cagle made a great play on the ball, the two-point conversion was no good. What are your thoughts not only about that play, but how your team kept their composure? You know, sometimes if you're not used to the winning and you don't have that winning mentality, sometimes you look down at the ground and you say, woe is me, here it comes. This is where we're going to lose.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that, you know, we got a little taste of that the week prior to Hayes when we were up on them 16-0 at halftime, and they came roaring back and they went ahead 19-16, and we were able to put it together in that second half. So, I mean, you know, we had kind of been there the week before, but just, you know, that Austin High is just a great club across the board, and they always try to find a way to win. But to have, you know, Zach step up and just be able to knock that ball down, and just, you know, it was so special. But, yeah, no, definitely they kept their composure. We talked about it all week that it was going to come down to literally the last play, and sure enough it did. And the kids came running off. They were like, Coach, you called it. And I said, well, I didn't want it to be that way, but it was that way. And it was so exciting.
You touched on being an assistant coach for a while and kind of waiting in the wings for your opportunity. Maybe thoughts about advice for other assistant coaches out there who are looking for that opportunity to be a head coach. What's your advice?
Man, you know, just, you know, I know it's easier said than done, but being where your feet are, you know, really just serve your community the best that you can and your school. You know, we always kind of talk about, you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side, but rather where you take care of it. And that's just kind of the way I was raised. And just, you know, being a great head coach and a great teacher here at Aikens High School was ultimately the reason why I was even looked at, you know, for the head coaching position. You know, had I not been, you know, taking care of the business in the classroom and in athletics, then, you know, they probably would have went outside with this thing. And so, you know, just work hard the best that you can, you know, sit in front of those clinics, you know, learn, and you know, just be patient because, you know, everybody's time's coming and you might not necessarily, you know, understand the path, so to say. And, you know, I know I got turned down for, you know, several jobs around the state and with the finalists at a few. And, you know, it all led to this moment where I could be here with you boys and this team. And it's just like, you know, there's always a plan out there and you just got to trust it and keep working as hard as you can.
Before we let you go, Coach, as we're talking with Coach Joey Sachs of the Aikens Eagles in his first year, got a big one. The Battle of South Austin with Bowie this week. Talk a little bit about what your game plan going into it and the Bowie Bulldogs and their success. I believe they're 5-1 this year. So really a great game this week.
Yeah, no, it's always special, the you know, Bowie Aikens game. Coach Abels over there has done a heck of a job this year, as he does every year, getting them to 5-1. Just tough loss last week against Westlake, but overall, I mean, they played so well this year, and it's always great to see another program from the Austin area doing well. But you know, for us, you know, they got a great running back with Camacho, and so, you know, trying to get him to get him under control and not getting him out in space, and you know, they got a couple good receivers, quarterbacks. I mean, they're solid up front. Our big focus this week, which is getting healthy, and you know, kind of getting back to the basics, and just making sure that, you know, what we're doing in practice is translating into our gameplay. But no, it's an exciting week in South Austin. Just all these kids, you know, they grow up together. They go to the same elementary school, same middle school. So they're just, you know, so much talk around this game, and you know, just excited for Friday night to get here.
Well, Coach, you did an excellent job on your first ever appearance on Under the Lights, and we'll have you back on hopefully later on this season when you're making a playoff run. How does that sound?
That's always the plan. I appreciate everything you guys do.
All right. This head coach, Joey Sachs, take it easy, Coach. Before we get to our next guest, let me tell you a little bit about Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Earlier today, I logged on to my Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscription to get some info about Aikens and about Connolly, and I spent about an hour going through some of their info. The combo subscription is really amazing. For just $29.95 plus shipping and handling, you can purchase an annual subscription and get both of their print magazines each year and access to hundreds of premium articles and archives on their website, www.texasfootball.com. As a subscriber, you will be mailed both of their magazines directly to your house before they hit the newsstand. The website is filled with insider commentary, predictions, archive magazines, and other great exclusive content. What a value it is. Go to texasfootball.com, and at the top left of the homepage, click on the Subscribe Now button.
It's time for Ask the Doc, presented by Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. Each week, we will visit with a doc to discuss a sports-related medical topic. Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas provides comprehensive orthopedics, including sports medicine, joint replacement, spine surgery, hand specialists, foot and ankle, and physical medicine and rehab. In addition, they offer same-day appointments and on-site imaging and physical therapy. Visit them at oactdocs.com. That's oactdocs.com.
And we are so happy to have Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas once again as our partner for the Ask a Doc segment. And tonight, we've got Dr. Taylor Jobe on the line. Dr. Jobe, are you on the line?
Rick, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Dr. Jobe, you know, something very much in the sports news recently is the thumb of Mr. Tom Brady. You know, I immediately think of quarterbacks following through on their throw and hitting their hand on a player's helmet to injure themselves. But it's not just reserved to quarterbacks. What have you seen with regards to thumb injuries to different players?
Yeah, you're right. Tom Brady hurt his thumb. And what I love about Tom Brady is his experience. You can tell he's been playing football for a long time because he said after the game, well, it's just a football injury, which he's used. He's seen a lot of them, and it's not a big deal to him. But to people it happens to, like you said, quarterbacks. I think it happened to Drew Brees 2 years ago where he hit his thumb on somebody's helmet on the follow-through. And you break your thumb or you tear a ligament on your thumb. So we see it a lot with QBs. But you see it a good bit on receivers. You see it on linemen a lot when they block and they keep their hands on the inside. They try to grab the other guy's jersey a little bit when they're pushing back. It can stretch their thumb and tear a ligament in their thumb or sprain the ligament. And we see it a good bit in baseball players sliding into bases and catching their thumb on a base. Even some lacrosse players using the sticks, and it can weaken their thumb over time and cause a little bit of ligament instability in their thumb. So it's one of those things that the thumb's so active in sports that you can see it on pretty much any position, not just quarterbacks, even though, as we all know, they get all the hype.
Absolutely. What are the different treatments for the breaks and, I guess you said, dislocation, sprains, and such?
Right. So, you know, a sprain in the thumb is typically, you know, Tom Brady's probably going to be able to play, it sounds like. If you just irritate a little bit, you can play through the pain, you can tape it up, you can ice it, you get treatment through your trainers, and you get back out there. Now, if you have a partial tear and the thumb's a little loose, that may need to be casted for a period of time. And then in the worst case scenario is if you completely tear the ligament in your thumb, or you have a break associated with where the ligament attaches to the bone to hold your thumb stable. What you would see there is if somebody tried to just pinch, their thumb would be unstable. They wouldn't be able to hold anything between their fingers. That oftentimes can require surgery to go in and reconstruct or repair the ligament. And this day and age, the change there has been that we actually take a brace like you wear on the outside of the body. Like what Drew Brees had, we started to implant the brace on the inside of the body. So not just repair the ligament, but put a brace from bone to bone to reinforce the ligament. And that's what allowed, you know, Drew Brees to get back after 4 or 5 weeks, where that used to be a 10-week injury.
Wow, that's interesting. Never heard of that. Dr. Joe,
yep.
It's always great to be able to talk with you and all of your colleagues out at Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. Thanks so much, and I'm sure we'll have you back on later on this season.
Appreciate it, Rick. Enjoy the show. You have a good night.
All right. Take care. That's Dr. Taylor Job of the Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. And we're going to move right along. We're going to head out to Sunrise, take a little off 79 to Sunrise, go out to Stony Point. Let's talk with IHS Fan Top 10 player and Stony Point star linebacker, Mr. Jake Chambers. Jake, welcome to Under the Lights.
How's it going? I hope y'all are doing well.
Hey, Jake, always good to talk with you. You were named to the IHS Fan Top 10 team this year. What did that designation mean to you?
Well, it meant a lot to me. It was one thing that showed me that all the hard work that I've put in has come to a test, and there's been some reward for it. And standing alongside 9 other great players and great athletes, that are going to go really far, it really makes me feel good about myself and makes me feel good about the Central Texas area.
Jake, Jeff Power here, 13 returning starters on this team. What did you guys, you know, talk about going into this last week's game against Westwood? You beat them 41-17. It looked like the leaders of this team really just stepped up. Did you feel that's kind of what came from this victory?
Absolutely. We knew beforehand that it was a must-win situation, and that's what we emphasized throughout the entire week. We knew that we had to win this game, and we had to win it a certain way. We couldn't just slide by and beat them with numbers. We had to beat them physically and emotionally. And so a lot of our leaders, a lot of our older guys, and some younger guys stepped up, and without them, we couldn't have come out with the victory.
You know, Stony Point had a really tough season last year, cut short due to the COVID protocols. And I know it was touch and go whether you were going to even play that final game that all the seniors last year got to play. How tough was it last year to keep focused?
It probably was the toughest season I've ever had as far as having tunnel vision on our goal and getting better as a team, because nothing was consistent. You know, you could play a game and have 2 weeks off, play 2 games and have 2 weeks off. So we just had to understand what our goals were, how we were going to get to those goals, and we had to be willing to adapt to changes in circumstances around us.
You know, when we look at 25-6A, I mean, really, this is a period right here for Stony Point where you guys can make a run and get maybe third or fourth playoff spot here in 25-6A. I mean, Cedar Ridge, Vandegrift, Round Rock all look tough, but you play Hutto tomorrow. That is a huge game. That's going to go a long way in telling who makes the playoffs in this district. What's your thoughts?
It is. We have a really tough district, which can be a blessing and a curse, but we're going to look at it as a blessing because we know that each week we're going to get better because we're playing such high competition. So we have, from here on out, we know that every game we have to win, and we have to win it a certain way so that we can be better for next week. We understand and we respect every single opponent we have because our district is just that tough. But we understand what's ahead of us, and we understand what we have to do to be victorious and make it to playoffs and make it to what our goals are.
We're talking with IHS Fan Top 10 player, linebacker from Stony Point, Jake Chambers. Jake, it seems like you've been playing linebacker for Coach Cheshire forever. He's a special coach and even a better man. I've really enjoyed my time getting to know him over the years. What do you like most about playing for Coach Cheshire?
Well, especially this year, he is helping out a lot with the D-line. And I just love how involved he is. It really draws the team together whenever you see your head coach dead center in the middle of every single drill, every single team meeting, every single film meeting. So I love how involved he is this year and how his hard work personally pushes out and it affects the whole team.
Well, Jake, always good talking with you. I know you had a few games early where you weren't able to play due to some injury, but you're back. You've had, I think, 13 tackles over the last couple games, and you're ready to go for a big one this week. And good luck the rest of the way, and tell Coach Cheshire Rick said hello.
All right, I'll do that. Thank you so much for having me on, and it was a pleasure talking to you.
All right.
Thanks, Jake. Is he polished or what?
He is polished. You know, I'm not amazed anymore at the kids that we get on, the players, the young men who we get on each week. They just are impressive.
Exactly.
It's just that simple.
He's not like a chip off the old block with Craig Cheshire, you know what I mean?
Because
Craig will just make sure, hey, don't give the other team any ammunition. Make sure that you say the right thing. Take care of your teammates.
Exactly.
I can hear it coming out.
Hey, look, we've already got three guests in the books. We got some more great stuff, including predictions at the end of the show. You are listening to 104.9 The Horn, Under the Lights. Welcome back to week number 9 for our show. We go 18 weeks all the way through to Jerry World, the week of Rick Epstein, Jeff Power on Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Before we get to our next guest, let me tell you about our newest sponsor. They're back, folks. They took a little time off, but Austin Community College is back as a sponsor. Ever wonder where you'll be and what you'll be doing in a few years? You've got big dreams. But what you need is a plan. Austin Community College is a great place to get started on your future. Did you know you can take dual credit college classes at ACC while you're still in high school? And those classes are free. Break up the boredom and get credits for your degree right now. Pretty smart. If you're still thinking about majors or your future career, check out austincc.edu. You can explore hundreds of options like robotics, graphic design, animation, history, film, programming, culinary arts, auto repair. You name it, ACC offers affordable university transfer programs and hands-on training at 11 different campuses. The new Highland campus is amazing. You got to see it to believe it. ACC students and graduates are doing big things, and you can too. Visit austincc.edu and get to work on that plan. Apply now and be ready to grab classes you need. The website again is austincc.edu. ACC, start here, get there, and let's head on over. Off I-35, take a left on Palmer, another right over by CarMax. You know where it is. We're going to go over to Connolly High School. Coach Jason Cecil, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Coach. Coach, 2-4 overall, and more importantly, 1-2 in the tough district, 13-5A D2. What have you been most pleased with this season with your squad?
You know, I think I'm happy. I'm seeing growth from our squad. We're obviously not where we want to be. We feel like we ought to be at least 3-3 right now. But we're playing a ton of sophomores. We're running an offense that we didn't start till this summer. So, you know, we knew there'd be some bumps in the road, some hiccups. But definitely seeing growth and improvement from our young kids and just an understanding of our scheme.
Let's touch on that for a second about your offense. Does it typically take about maybe until you get into district play to kind of have everybody on the same page when you're bringing in a new scheme? And does this start with a new offensive coordinator?
Yeah, it does. I mean, hopefully doing something like this, we would normally get a spring ball to get the guy in and get started. with COVID and just the, you know, the lateness. We lost our former OC, Coach Show, passed away from COVID. It was a huge loss.
Oh, my goodness.
Just took us a while to get that going and get back in the groove. But we got a good guy. We love what we're doing, and our kids are really taking to it. It's just, you know, it's a lot different from what we've done, and it's just taking a little time. And like I said, when you're playing some young kids, they're not only learning some new stuff, but just learning how to be a varsity player.
I did not realize that you lost your OC to COVID. I'm sorry about that.
I appreciate it.
Who are some of the leaders? You're talking about offense. Who are some of the leaders on your offense this season?
You know, we've got several kids who are playing really high level. Averill Houston is one that has done an outstanding job. He's playing kind of everything for us. He plays quarterback. He plays receiver, running back. He starts at safety. He's a kick return guy. He's kind of a jack of all trades, but he really masters all of them too. He's been an explosive player for us. Roman Mason has had a big year. He's probably our fastest kid, and when we can get the ball in his hands, he usually does something special with it. So really excited about those two guys offensively. And then, you know, we've young O lineman Aiden Newbill, who started it for us as a freshman, is really continuing to grow and show some things. And then Diego Salazar is a senior on the O line who's really brought a physical presence to us this year.
And the fact that you had four of your five returning starters on that offensive line, that has to help, especially when you're kind of putting in a new scheme, right?
It does. The problem is we lost one of them, kind of our main guy, blew out his knee in the first game, and so we played another sophomore in his spot. But, you know, those guys that are back have really done a good job, and, you know, they know how to take coaching and how to practice, and so having just that with the new OC, it's been a good learning process for them.
You have the Blue Belt road trip this week as you head out to Brenham and face the Cubs out there. And then you finish with Bastrop, Eastview, and Elgin. What are your thoughts on this week and for your chance to claim one of those playoff spots?
Yeah, I think, you know, we really felt like last week was important. We didn't get it done. We played pretty poorly, honestly. But, you know, I think we're a team, and we've talked to our kids, and I think they understand this. We feel like we could win just about any game, and we could lose just about any game. And so, you know, the difference in our team winning and losing is usually some just little minute things, and we've got to get past those things. You know, I think a lot of that's just young players, but also just keeping a focus, you know, throughout the entire game. So Brenham has got excellent talent, as they always do. They're well coached. They're a good football team. But, you know, we've had a really good week. I'm excited to see what we put out there.
And you know, this has been an unusual year, not as unusual as last year, but the fact that in 2021, we're all trying to get back to a sense of normalcy and getting into the routines of practice and just getting, like you said, getting your guys used to being varsity football players and understanding what that means. Maybe just thoughts in general as, you know, we're at the midway point of the season. Where the team is at, how do you feel like everyone's coming together, and do things somewhat feel like they're getting back to normal over at Connolly?
Definitely starting to feel more normal. It is a little bit of a process, you know, just getting them back in. You know, most of our kids, like everybody's kids, were virtual, and they'd come for practice, and last year was kind of a wash. So, but, yeah, I think we're to the point now. They know the expectations. They know how to practice and when we're going to do things and what we expect of them. So, you know, like I said, I'm really proud of our – I think we got 13 sophomores, and those dudes are varsity football players at this point in the year.
Well, let's talk about something a little different. Of the four Pflugerville ISD schools, Connolly's the only one playing in 5A D2 with realignment just a few months away in February. What are your thoughts? Do you have any initial thoughts on where you think Connolly might wind up with regards to February's realignment?
You know, I think we'll probably stay D2. Now, who that will be with, I have no idea. It's, you know, you look at the numbers and talking to other coaches, it seems like a lot of the schools in our district could be going D1. And so when you look around the area and who's left for D2, it's kind of a hit and miss deal. So, yeah, it'll be it's always interesting. You never know what the UIL is going to do on one of those deals. And, you know, we're just going to go with who they put us with and play as hard as we can.
And maybe, you know, we were just kind of talking about this coming in, how the temperatures are changing, you know, a little bit more rain in the forecast and getting cooler. You know, as we get into this part of the season, I mean, I think the seniors start to realize that, you know, we're counting down my days of playing high school football. And you're building these bonds and the chemistry that comes with it. Are you excited what you're seeing, despite the fact that you have a fairly young team?
Yeah, I am excited about that. I think, you know, that's the part that's got me the most excited is those young guys have come along. Those seniors have led them and kind of showed them the way. And I just see the whole thing kind of coming together, hopefully at the right time. And, you know, they're no doubt about it. They know that the end is near, those seniors. And I told our kids, we just got off the grass. We had PSAT testing, so we practiced after school, which was unusual. And usually when you switch up the routine, it's usually not a great practice. It's one of our best practices we've had in probably 3 weeks. So was really excited and proud of our kids today.
Well, Coach, I often refer to you as the outdoorsman. You love the outdoors. You see pictures of you on your little boat fishing by yourself, and you just love spending time in the outdoors. What about the outdoors do you like? Do you like just getting away from it all?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I can get out there. I tell everybody that asks about it, you know, I can get out on a river on my kayak and go 8, 10, 12 hours and never see another human being and not hear anything but nature. And, you know, our stadium, I love our place, but we're right here off I-35 and you hear that traffic all day long. I'm an old West Texas boy, right? So I'm used to some quiet, and it helps me get centered just to get away from it all and back in God's creation.
Well, I enjoy those pictures, Coach. And Coach, always a pleasure. You're a great friend of IHS Fan, and I really enjoyed getting to know you over the years. And thanks so much for being on Under the Lights.
Thanks for having us on. We appreciate all you guys do for Central Texas football.
All right, there he is, the great Coach Jason Cecil of the Connolly Cougars.
I was just wondering how many coaches out there listening were just going, that sounds like me. I got to get out on that, you know, maybe Sunday, or, you know, just get away from everything, maybe do a little hunting, fishing, whatever you want to get into.
He loves it, and he's always out there, and you can see, I follow him on Twitter. That's why I see all these you know, pictures. But let's go over the standings during this last part of this segment, and then you're going to take over with Stephen Kabler, the final segment, with some predictions and going over last week's games. But in that 5A D2 District 13, Brenham up top, 3-0 in district. Rouse right behind him, actually tied with him at 3-0. Eastview 2-1, Glenn 2-1. So if the playoffs ended today, it would be those four teams. Then you got Connolly. We just talked to Coach Cecil at 1-2. Cedar Creek 1-2. Elgin and Bastrop are both winless. So this is a big game for Connolly. If they could somehow get a win in Brenham, in Bluebell land, that would be huge and go a long way. It's not a must win yet for them, but it's getting to be that for Connolly.
And they built off those wins over McCallum and Cedar Creek earlier this year, and that helps. That helps that young team come along when you get some W's under your belt.
Absolutely. In District 14, 5A D2, Liberty Hill up top 3-0, Crockett 2-1, Marble Falls 1-1, along with Northeast and McCallum. So really a logjam in there. Three teams tied for trying to get that last playoff spot.
And you know Liberty Hill can clinch that district, but they have to play Marble Falls this week. That's going to be a great matchup.
Yep. Travis at 1-2, Navarro winless. In District 13, 4A Division 1, this is the home of the number one ranked in the state of Texas, LBJ Jaguars, the Fighting Jamal Fenners. And number one in the state. Let's give it up. Let's give a little applause for the
absolutely
LBJ Jaguars.
And you know what? Coming off that win over Canyon Lake, they had to earn it, you know. And
that was a tough game.
It was. And that's going to make them better down the stretch, I promise you.
Interesting. They've only had one district game, as there's only six teams in that district. Lampasas, Fredericksburg, LBJ, all 1-0. Burnett, Canyon Lake, Taylor, all 0-1.
They have the Battling Billies this week.
The Battling Billies. 25-6A, a district you're very familiar with because your son plays for the Vista Ridge Rangers. Cedar Ridge, Vandegrift, both undefeated at 3-0 in district play. Round Rock and Hutto at 2-1. Those would be your four teams if it ended today. Vista Ridge and Stony Point, we talked to Jake Chambers from Stony Point. They're at 1-2 in district. McNeil and Westwood are winless right there.
And, you know, Cedar Ridge plays Vandegrift this week. That'll go a long way in deciding this district title. Cedar Ridge, they came close to losing that game last week to Vista
they
Ridge.
Did.
That was a tough game right down to the wire.
They did. District 26, 6A, Westlake and Lake Travis, of course. Pencil them in. And, you know, it's just pencil them in. They're going to make the playoffs. They're undefeated. Then you got Bowie and Aikens. We talked with Coach Joey Sachs from the Aikens Eagles. That's a big one. Del Valle and San Marcos 1-2, then Austin High and Hayes are winless in district. Going to the tough one, 11-5A D1. The unbelievable team of the week, the ARS team, Rescue Rooter team of the week, the Manor Mustangs, are undefeated along with Weiss. Two of the great stories of this year. They're both undefeated at 3-0 in district. Cedar Park sitting at 2-1. Georgetown and Anderson, along with Hendrickson and Pflugerville, all at 1-2. You've got four teams fighting for that fourth spot. It's going to be incredible. Leander is winless. Finally, in District 12, 5A, D1, Seguin and Johnson. We talked with Coach Steve Hoffman earlier this season. They're undefeated. 3-0 in district, 6-0 in overall. Dripping Springs also undefeated in district. Then you got Harlandale, Veterans Memorial, Canyon at 1-2, and Lehman and McCollum are winless.
Yeah, you know, Johnson beat Veterans Memorial. They have Harlandale coming up next. But, I mean, you talk about hats off and a round of applause. Johnson has been a pleasant surprise so far this year.
Absolutely. Listen, when we come back, it'll be Jeff Power and Stephen Kabler taking you for the last segment. And we will be back just shortly after these messages. You're listening to The Horn Under the Lights.
Ah, yes. Tom Petty, Under the Lights. Rick Epstein stepping out. I'm Jeff Power. Stephen Kabler joining me now. That one of the few that was really pretty happy last week after the Oklahoma-Texas game, I might add, right?
Quite happy, yes.
The Sooner in the house. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we had some big matchups this past week. Cedar Park beat Anderson 45-13. You know, that was a Thursday night game. Of course, Cedar Park facing Leander next week, trying to win back-to-back games for the first time this year. The last year they failed to do it was 2003. Imagine that. Now, Lake Travis, they beat Austin High 63-3. LT's points scored against Austin High, listen to these numbers, 63, 62, 63, 66, 70, 62. Okay, you get the idea. Yeah, the 14 was in LT's first district game after moving from 4A to 5A, by the way. That was the one time they didn't get up there over 50. But, you know, Lake Travis looks as good as ever, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like Rick was saying about that district. He was saying pencil in Westlake and Lake Travis. I'm the Sharpie guy. Just go ahead and put it in Sharpie. Yeah, they're looking fantastic.
Yeah, and, you know, Round Rock coming off a big win, 41-12 last Thursday over Hutto. Fourth time Hutto has been held to just 12 points or less over the last 2 years after going 49 straight games, scoring 14-plus. But, hey, credit the Round Rock defense right there.
Yeah, I mean, Round Rock usually showing out a good defense, but, I mean, that's a heck of a performance right there, of course, stopping that streak for Hutto. And, you know, as the voice of, as Rick likes to say, as the voice of the Stony Point Tigers, who's got Hutto tomorrow, I'm hoping maybe Stony Point can do something similar there.
The Fighting Craig Cheshires. Yeah, Dripping Springs looks good. They are undefeated. They beat Lehman last week 59-0. 15th shutout for Dripping Springs in the last 17 years. Galen Zimmerman has got it going on right now. I tell you what, Dripping Springs has just been very impressive so far this season.
Well, Jeff, as a proud alumni of Wimberley High School, I'm not allowed to say anything nice about Dripping Springs, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut on that one.
Okay, all right. Well, Glenn, you know, they beat Connolly last week 31-0. It's the second shutout in Glenn's short history. Fourth time Connolly's been shut out in the last 2 years. And, you know, I think Glenn is kind of finding themselves again once again. They're kind of picking up where they left off.
Yeah, it's always nice to see the Grizzlies out here doing some playing some good football, and obviously holding the Connolly team to 0 points, putting up 31 of their own. It's always something to put up a lot of points or to hold a team to zero, but to do both in the same game, it means you're playing your best football when you need to be.
You know what game surprised me last week? San Marcos beat Hayes 62-49. What a high-scoring affair. Fifth time San Marcos has given up 49 points or more in a win in the last 8 seasons. But that's a big win for the Rattlers.
111 points scored in a high school football game. I mean, no defense going on in that one, but I'm sure it was very entertaining to watch. And Sam Marcus coming out on top. Hayes kind of struggling this year, as Rick talked about during his standing segment there. But I bet that was a heck of a game to be at.
Well, and you know, Del Valle put up 76 against Aikens, most points ever scored versus Aikens, beating the record of 74 by Westlake back in 2006. So Del Valle, maybe they've kind of found out how to get things going. You know, they struggled early, but they're starting to pick things up.
Yeah, they've struggled here and there a little bit playing some teams, but I mean, scoring 76 is definitely going to give your team a bonus and a boost that it needs.
Liberty Hill beat McCallum 45-16. We alluded to the fact that they've got a big matchup coming up this week, and we'll see how things go out there with Liberty Hill. Liberty Hill's trying to win the district title this weekend, but it is going to be tough. They do play Marble Falls, and Marble Falls has been good this year. Moving along here, Johnson over San Antonio Veterans Memorial, 45-28. We touched on that earlier. You know what the average so far for the Jaguars? 55, and their opponents, 13 this year. I mean, Johnson's undefeated, but they are quietly just taking care of business, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's a couple of incredible stats there when you're averaging that many points, and then defense obviously flying to the football, playing really, really well, holding teams to just 13 points on average on the season. I mean, can't be disappointed in that.
I like what I saw with Georgetown. Big bounce back win for them. They beat Hendrickson last week 56-3. That score kind of shocked me. Third biggest loss in Hendrickson history. They lost to Lake Travis, you might remember, in 08. 57-0. But, you know, when you think about it, though, Georgetown needed that win, and they played like it.
Yeah, looking at all these scores that we've got in
high
front of
scoring,
us, really, that,
yeah.
it's blowouts left and right.
Sure.
And just high scoring games. I mean, something must have been in the water last week, because there were teams putting up crazy points and playing good defense.
Sure. Well, in Eastview beat Cedar Creek 66-7. Manor, we talked about that, beat Pflugerville 45-12. Fifth game, they got a 5-game winning streak for Manor. Fifth in the last 25 years. Rouse beat Elgin 52-13. That's the eighth time in the last two seasons they've gone over 50 points. Weiss beat Leander 70-24. Stony Point over Westwood 41-17. You got a chance to at least chat about Stony Point. Thoughts about just that win over Westwood, what that means for Craig Cheshire and his program?
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster of emotions for this team. They're either blowing teams out or they're not coming with their best, and they're losing by a few touchdowns. You see it here with Westwood. They're gonna have a really tough test coming up tomorrow, as their game against Hutto got moved to tomorrow. Again, you can listen to the IHS Fan webcast. You can hear myself and Rodney Rodriguez on the call for the Stony Point Hutto game. Should be a good one. And we'll see if Coach Cheshire and the Tigers can really continue that momentum that they got with a win over Westwood.
And a couple of the quick thoughts here. Cedar Ridge beat Vista Ridge. We talked about that earlier, 25-21. That was a game that went right down to the wire, but it was the Raiders winning it, and they play Vandegrift tomorrow. That'll be huge, or on Friday, excuse me. Westlake beat Bowie last week in a battle of unbeatens, 35-0. Westlake's 17th shutout in the last 4 years, and Vandegrift beat McNeil 49-7. They've got that big matchup with Cedar Ridge. By the way, Adam Wagner and Robert Hartgrove on the call for the IHS Fan webcast network on that game, and that is tomorrow night, actually, Cedar Ridge and Vandegrift. Stony Point and Hutto. Stephen, you're on the call there with Rodney Rodriguez, as you mentioned. That'll be a lot of fun. And then also we got Austin High and Sam Marcus on Friday on the IHS Fan network. Brad Tillery and Stephen Ryan on the call. McNeil and Round Rock, Dave Carter and Kevin Martin on the call for that one. Westwood and Vista Ridge, Rodney Rodriguez and Rick Epstein on the call for that one. That'll be a lot of fun over at the Palace. Weiss and Pflugerville, Efren Sanchez on the call for that game right there. A couple others for you, Elgin and Glenn. It's Alan Cepeda and Zach Epstein on the call on the IHS Fan Network. Anderson and Georgetown, Sean Clinch and Adam Ogburn on the call on that one. That's going to be a huge game. Anderson, much improved. Georgetown, both those teams really needing a win.
Yeah, and when you're at this point in the season and you need a win and your back's against the wall, you got to either come out and perform, or if you don't, you're kind of throwing your season away. So we'll see how both of those teams come out and perform and see which one of them can get a win when they need it most.
You know, another big game, Bowie at Aikens. That'll be a huge game. Both those teams trying to bounce back after tough losses this past week. We have Austin is at Sam Marcus. That's a huge game. Sam Marcus coming off a win. Both those teams need to keep the win column going. Del Valle is at Lake Travis. That'll be a tall order. That's going to be a high-scoring affair, I would say. Vista Ridge at Westwood, very important game for those two teams as teams are kind of looking at maneuvering around, trying to get one of those four playoff spots. McNeil at Round Rock. It's a great rivalry. It'll be a big matchup. Also, Lockhart is at Floresville, Marble Falls at Liberty Hill, McCallum at Austin Navarro, Eastview at Bastrop, Connolly at Brenham, Elgin at Glenn, San Antonio Veterans Memorial at Dripping Springs, Harlandale at Johnson, Layman at New Braunfels Canyon. We mentioned Anderson and Georgetown, Leander at Cedar Park, Pflugerville at Weiss, and LBJ at Fredericksburg. And again, you know, LBJ, the number one team in the state in 4A. That is just awesome. So we've got the number one team in 6A, Westlake, the number one team in 4A, LBJ. That speaks volumes for Central Texas. Of course, Lake Travis is in the top 10. Dripping Springs doing awesome this year as well.
Yeah, I mean, Central Texas football is just kind of, in my opinion, just kind of taking over the state. And you can see it right there, two number one ranked teams in their respective classes. And then, of course, you've always got, you've got Lake Travis. You got a couple more teams in some lower divisions that may make some noise in the playoffs.
And, you know, as we get into this part of the season, things start, you know, the temperatures start cooling off. Everybody kind of starts realizing that it's now or never. Those seniors start feeling the pressure. They want to win for that teammate right next to them. It's time to play some football and step it up a notch no matter which district you're in. We're all pretty much in district play now. Hey, I want to thank Rick Epstein and Stephen Kabler on the dials over here to my left. And a special thanks to our guest, Aikens head coach Joey Sachs, Stony Point linebacker Jake Chambers, Connolly head coach Jason Cecil, Dr. Job Taylor from Orthopedics of Central Texas Associates also joining us. Another show under the books here. It's Under the Lights. We'll catch you next Wednesday on the Horn at 7 o'clock.